Thanks, Dana, for the way that you're touching lives in New York. Wow, some great stories. We're looking in our time together during our sermons at intercessory prayer. Mike started us off last week. I think we defined intercessory as being standing in the gap, or when we bring to God circumstances or persons so that he can help them through that time. I was really pressed this week to think about ways in which intercessory prayer is part of my life. Am I a believer in Jesus because somebody prayed for me? And I can ask that of each of you. Are we believers because somebody prayed for us? I read someplace that there's no one that has received Jesus that has not been prayed for. Wow, that's a great statement. And I got to thinking of things that are going on in my life. Did I have a successful 5-year history of an open heart surgery because I was anointed and somebody prayed over me? And I asked God to let not my heart be troubled. I need to know that. Is Will and Glenn and Amy and Sue believers because they were prayed for? I need to know that. I asked God for protection every day because I didn't have a head on with a car that was coming out of Mannheim this morning. I was coming in. Was God answering a prayer? I would like to know that. Intercession. Our text this morning is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 34, and I'm going to particularly deal with the end of that verse, which says that Jesus is the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us.
That's right.
Interceding, an interesting word. I need to give credit to Scripture this morning. I think I had some things in my life twisted, and so maybe for you, as I'm sharing, that will twist them for you. But anyway, I'd be glad to share or talk about that. So I need to give credit to Romans 8.
And then
34.
Okay.
Yeah. Another book that was helpful to me was a book by a Dutch Sheets entitled Intercessory Prayer. He has a great understanding. And so some of my thoughts this morning are going to be hands-on. We're going to hit the target, hopefully. I'll use that later on as I share. Early on in life, I was probably a 14 or 15-year-old teenager, and my dad came up to me and said, this is out of the blue, when you pray, son, do you pray to Jesus or do you pray to God? I thought, wow. You're asking a young teenager that question? Do you pray to Jesus or do you pray to God? And first I thought, well, I know a scripture that says I and my Father are one, so duh, doesn't make any difference. But then I also remembered when the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, he said, pray, our Father who art in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven. So early on in life, I was presented with his, in my mind, the very deep theological question. John 16, verse 26 says, Jesus is not doing or asking or petitioning for us. Jesus is not asking or petitioning for us. He's interceding. Which means to me something like this. And this is where rubber meets the road. This isn't all my ideas. It's some things that I read. So when you pray, Jesus is always there saying something like, Father, Chuck is here to speak with you. He isn't coming on his own merits of righteousness. He is here based on mine. He is here in my name. I am sure you remember that I've gone between you and Chuck and provided him with access to you. He has a few questions to ask you. So can't you hear God the Father answering in response? Of course I remember, son. Of course I remember Jesus. You've made him one of ours. Because he came to you, Chuck is always welcome here. He, meaning God, then looks at me and says, come boldly to my throne of grace, son, and make your request known. Jesus isn't praying for us. He's interceding for us so that we can pray. This is what is meant by when we say, I pray this, and Luann even did this, I pray this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name I pray this. God won't honor any other intercession but Christ. And I'm not degrading our intercessing, but our intercession goes to God, and Jesus is he's the interceder. He intercedes for us. Scripture says in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator, also between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Our prayers of intercession are always an extension of Christ's work of intercession. This, to me, this makes the power or the prayers of intercession more powerful. In studying this, I discovered some people talk about regular praying and intercessory prayers. I never thought about it that way. So what's regular praying? I would have to say that regular praying is when you recognize God as who he is and thank him for his greatness and his power. So let's return to the throne room. A small church is asking the Father to extend mercy and bring salvation to the people of Mannheim. So as Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer, I'm asking for your kingdom to come and your will to be done in Mannheim. May your kingdom come and your will be done. The Father could reply, how can I do this? Some are on drugs in Mannheim and love evil rather than good. And I answer, because Jesus interceded for them. Father, I am asking based on what he did. He needs a human on earth to ask him because he is in heaven. Very interesting concept. Intercessory prayer. So as he taught us, or as he taught me, I'm asking for your kingdom to come and your will to be done in Mannheim. I'm asking these things for Christ and through Christ. I think our calling in intercessory praying is to release God on the situation. We bring a person or circumstances before God until we are moved by God's attitude towards that person. Have you ever felt an inability in your prayer life to produce results? What's going on? One of the reasons we're not experiencing results is because we don't always know how to pray as we should. Romans 8, 26 and 20 to 28. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. The Spirit intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. All things work for good to those who love him. Sometimes the process seems to be kind of like a hit or miss project. Are we going to land on the situation correctly or not? It seems like it's very much by chance. We have a neighbor at Pleasant View who's really into monarch butterflies. And so we have he feeds them, and so there are butterflies flying around our place, lots. And you know, sometimes I think my prayers are like butterflies. I can't tell whether that guy's going to land or whether he's taking off. He seems so flighty. That's what a butterfly does. So I think my prayers are, sometimes I feel like it's very hit and miss. So what's going on? I think what is by chance for us is not by chance by the Holy Spirit. There's a definite striking, hitting the mark. And Mike talked about this last Sunday, a new word to me, and he shared that. I think it's a Hebrew word spelled P-A-G-A, Paga, means hitting the bullseye. When we allow him to intercede through us, our prayers light on the right person or on the right situation in the right way and bring forth the will of God in the situation. Could it be that the reason we don't see more miracles is because we don't expect miracles, really? I was really caught up in this a few weeks back. I lost my sister Bunny lost her husband probably 2 months ago. And I shared this at an elders meeting, and so Mike and Scott said, let's pray. And we prayed, and our prayers were like, we want this fourth stage cancer, lung cancer, to be out of here. Get rid of it. In the name of Jesus, we said, let it be gone. And Bunny's husband, Urban, is part of they call it a caring bridge, which shares people's response to their health situation and as they respond back. And these are people from all over the world. Urban was a national church leader. And so he had friends that all over the world. And I read some of their prayers. Some of his prayers were that God would comfort Urban's wife and that the friends of Urban would be comforted by God's love, which is the way I would pray. As I thought about the boldness of Mike and Scott and us praying for Urban and how other people prayed, do we use that spiritual boldness in our intercessory prayers? Really? The end of the story was that we prayed that on Monday night. On Tuesday morning, Urban passed away. So I tried to make sense of all of that, and I did. We prayed that the cancer be gone. Urban was at a different place on Tuesday morning than he was on Monday, and he had no pain. It was gone, if you want to see it in a spiritual sense. One of the ways that Pega is translated in the Bible is it strikes the mark, or it hits the mark. And I brought this for a visual. Sometimes objects can help us understand some things. This is a lightning rod, you all know. And this is usually higher than the building. We don't see these anymore. Maybe if you're 20 years old, you don't even know what this is. Nobody is that way. We used to get a discount in our fire insurance if we had lightning rods, a 10% discount. So they must have some value. Job 36:32 says he covers his hands with the lightning and commands it to strike the mark. I looked at the context that verse, what that verse is applying to, and one of Job's friends, Elihu, says, do you have any idea how powerful, says Job, do you have any idea how powerful God is? I think that the lightning rod and this God is lightning is a kind of a picture of intercession. When God releases his light, causing it to flash from his presence like lightning, it's striking the desired target. It's, and that's likened to intercession. We don't add to or magnify God's power, but we do let the sun shine through us, directing his light to desired situations, allowing it to strike the mark. On our farm, we have probably an acre and a half of trees. We call it the woods. And in that was a big oak tree that got hit by lightning. I walked into the woods last year and measured the trunk of this oak tree, which was split in the middle, and it was 38 inches. So it's a huge tree. Lightning, so I've read, has a temperature of 45,000 degrees Fahrenheit. That is really hot. I don't know this, but somebody suggested that that's even hotter than the sun. Psalms 68, verse 2, as wax melts before a fire, let the wicked people perish before God. And again in Psalms 46, 6, when God speaks, the earth melts. Someplace I learned that creation is never greater than the Creator. And so that means that we have a Creator that's greater than his creation. It means that the energy that is in a lightning bolt, God has more than that. He's the Creator. Like, wow. Scriptures indicate that God is light, and as God at times his light or glory flashes forth from him as bolts of lightning. This happened a few thousand years ago when Lucifer, filled with pride, decided he would exalt himself to God's position. And so we read in Luke 10, verse 18, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome the power of the enemy. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Maybe the point is that not what can be seen with the human eye, but what happens in a spiritual realm, and that is that light overcomes darkness. John 1, verses 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. 1 Timothy 6:16, who alone possesses immortality or dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. In James 1, verse 17, but whatever is good and perfect comes to us from God, the creator of all light, and he shines forever without change or shadow. And Psalms 29, verse 7, the voice of the Lord splits and flashes forth forked lightning. I think the cross, which is what Jesus experienced, was a war. And we know this. It was a spiritual battle. It was light overcoming darkness. And God arose and his enemies were scattered. Early on in my life, I remember visiting Carlsbad Caverns. Have any of you ever been there? When they took the group down to the lowest point, I think in the cavern, the guide turned off the lights. Now, if you want to be several hundred feet under the surface of the earth and no light, that is complete darkness. And it was scary. It was, to me, deathly silent. And I figured out myself, you know, if somebody turned the lights on, somebody here knows how to turn the lights. Somebody turned them off. Somebody knows how to turn them back on. That was comforting. I remember as a child, very young, I disliked thunderstorms, lightning and thunder. And if it was a nighttime experience, I would go to my parents' bedroom and want to be comforted by them. And I remember my mother saying to me, and I don't know if this helped or not, you know, God is talking to us. And I would say back to her, but why must he be so loud? God is talking to us. Some time ago, about 20 years ago, a little less probably, a thunder and lightning storm hit the barn that we live on our property. And the barn burned to the ground. Not only was the barn within the bullseye range of lightning, but some of the appliances in our home, which is probably 150 feet from the barn, were disabled. Like, wow, refrigerator doesn't work, a stove, it's blink. There weren't computers then, but telephone that didn't want to do its thing. And so I remember a neighbor coming in and helping cleaning up a barn. And he said, I had the privilege of cutting up your corn planter and throwing it on the trash heap because it was so warped that you couldn't use it. And I said, well, thanks a lot, Nate, for doing that for me. If the lightning of God hits the mark, the person will be saved. If the light of God, if you're praying for salvation, if you're interceding or rescued, what was seen with the physical eye is also what happens in the spiritual realm. Where the lightning is literal or symbolic, the results are the same. God's power is overcoming darkness. Light overcomes darkness. So if intercession is pictured by God's lightning striking the mark, and if Christ's work of intercession when he met Satan was light overcoming darkness, if our praying intercession releases or represents Christ, then could it be that our intercession releases the lightning of God to flash forth? I would say yes. We often forget how powerful the Holy Spirit in us is. We forget how destructive to darkness lightning is. We forget how destructive to darkness lightning is. Darkness, I don't even recommend reading the newspaper, but darkness covers the earth. A lot of darkness. We believers are the light of the world. Put yourself, let me challenge you with some things. And may you be encouraged by this. Put yourself spiritually in front of your rebellious child. Put yourself spiritually in front of your rebellious child. Spouses, ask God to shine the light or the light on the lives of your mate, if you have an unbelieving mate. While you're waiting for God to do something, he may be waiting on you. He may be waiting. That was a very catching thought for me. While you're waiting on God to do something, he may be waiting on you to ask him to intercede. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you, Father, that you are in heaven and that your Son is interceding for us. Thank you, Father, for his love for us. And help us to understand our part in bringing righteousness and good living and light into our world. So we thank you all and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.